In Advent, and we have a special presentation this morning. Oh, there she is. See, I was looking back there for her. She wasn't back there. So our daughter Olivia has got an opportunity to go out with Youth with a Mission and do some discipleship training school, and then go out and do some mission work. And so she's going to share a little bit about that. And then she's got a bake sale set up in the back for trying to raise some funds to do this. So Olivia, come on up. You can use that microphone right over there. And remember, you only got 30 seconds, so go.
Okay, like he said, my name's Olivia, and I'm going to be participating in a discipleship training school with the organization Youth with a Mission. And if for those of you who do not know what Youth with a Mission is, it's easily described as a Christian organization, and they're based all over the world. Like Kelsey Jones was here a few weeks ago, and she is on staff in Paris. And so there's lots of bases within the U.S., but there's also many outside of the U.S., and I'm going to Tauranga, New Zealand. I'll be there for 5 to 6 months, and their goal, or like mission statement, I guess, is know God and make God known. And so this is shown in their discipleship training schools. The first half is they call it the lecture phase, and that's where you know God. So me as a student, I will hear from different speakers every week. They're from all over the world, and we have a different speaker every week and a different topic every week. And so that's where you really just grow in your faith and become just more knowledgeable, so that when you go on your outreach, which is the second phase, you'll be able to make God known. And so they don't really give me many details on what I will be doing there, but this specific base, it's called Marine Reach, and they go to Southeast Asia and the South Pacific Islands, and I believe I will be going to the South Pacific Islands. Not exactly sure where or what we'll be doing, but I know we'll be making God known. So that's what we're doing, and just a little bit about why I want to do this is just I've seen friends go into it, and just the way they come out, they're just changed, I guess, but for the better, and they just grow in their faith so much, and just it's unlike anything I've seen, really. The people that come out, it's, I don't know, pretty amazing, and also just just to give those 5 or 6 months and dedicate every waking second to God's call is I don't know, just it's not very, it's pretty rare in this society to dedicate even just a day every second to God. And so I'm excited to see what he'll do with that. So, yeah, that's what I'm doing. Thanks.
And she will be out in the foyer afterwards, so if you have, like, specific questions and whatnot you want to ask her, you can do that. So this morning we're going to be celebrating communion. And so as I was looking at it this week, I kind of went back in the context. But before that, let's go ahead and open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 11. We're going to be starting in verse 23. This is the section that we normally use for communion. But let's pray before that. Father God, I thank you for this day and another opportunity to come here and worship with your people, to give glory to you. And Father, I know that There's many in here. We're all dealing with different things today. And so I just pray that you would help us to take this time to specifically focus on you, to strain our ears to hear your voice, to open our hearts and our minds to your word and how you would have us apply that into our lives. And so, Father, I pray for these people here this morning and myself included, Father, that we will hear you, that we will see you, that we will know you better. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 32. See, I'm staying with the Christmas theme. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat the bread and drink the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly." But let's go back to chapter 10. So looking kind of at the context of what has Paul been talking about to the Corinthians as he's written this letter to them. And going back to chapter 10, the end of that, he says, "Whether then you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." He's setting this up as he gets ready to actually, in chapter 11, he's going to kind of let them have it a little bit, because they're not doing what they should be doing, that they're not eating and drinking to the glory of God. They're eating and drinking to the glory of themselves. So what we need to be doing is everything for God's glory, for God's glory. And it needs to be other-centered, not centered on ourselves, but centered on others. As he goes on in chapter 10, in verse 32, excuse me, "Give no offense either to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own benefit, but the profit of the many, so that they may be saved." So Paul's mindset here and what he's telling us is we need to be focused on others. We need to be doing things in such a way that draws them to God. His very last thing that he says in that verse is, "so that they may be saved." He wants to have the kind of attitude, the kind of language, so that it draws people to God. And then, beginning in chapter 11, as he continues on, he says that we're to be imitators of Christ, just like he is. Verse 1 says, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ." Paul realizes that he's the example. He's the one that's had, actually, direct communication with Christ. And so he says, "Look at my life and what I'm doing and what I'm trying to do. As I try to imitate Christ, try to imitate me." Philippians 2, 3 through 5, it goes on to say, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus." We celebrate communion this morning when he gave his blood and he shed his blood and he gave his body. He was concerned with others more than himself. He was looking out for their interest. He was willing to hang on that cross for us. He loved us that much. Excuse me. So Jesus, when he celebrated that last Passover with his disciples, we call it the Last Supper, he gave them an example. He washed their feet, something that was relegated to slaves, not to especially a rabbi, a teacher, but yet not only was he a rabbi, he was God. And he was willing to wash their feet. John 13, starting in verse 3, it says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, he got up from supper. He laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. This is the example that he's leaving for us. That's the kind of attitude, that's the kind of mindset that we should have. We shouldn't think, hey, well, I'm not going to lower myself to go wash someone's feet. That's someone else's job. No, that's our job. We need to be willing to do that. Imitate Jesus Christ. We need to be imitators of God. Ephesians 5, 1 through 5, it says, therefore, be imitators of God. Pretty plain, right? But then it goes on to say what we're to do. Be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Here's the things that you shouldn't do. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you as is proper among the saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. So be imitators of God, and here's the things not to do. Now, God is perfect, and we never will be, but that's still our goal. Our goal is to be like Christ, to be like God, to live in a way where people look at us and they see something different. They don't look at us and just see, oh, they just look like anybody else that's in the world. They're involved in the dirty jokes and their language isn't that great. I mean, that's exactly what he's saying here. No filthiness and silly talk. No coarse jesting. Speak in a way that's worthy of your God. And in a way that shows the world that you are different. That you're not the same as the world. It goes on to tell us to be perfect. Excuse me. Matthew 5, 46 through 48. It says, for if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you to be doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. In other words, do the opposite of what he just said. Love everybody, no matter whether they can do anything for you or not. The tax collectors, they were like bottom of the rung, because what they were was they were Jews who took on the job of tax collection for Rome. And you can imagine how that went over. So when they talk about tax collectors, it's like they don't even want it in their mouth. We're to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. We're to love others. No matter who they are, no matter what they're like, we should still have love for them. That doesn't mean we condone evil in other people, but we still love them as people because God loved them. We're to be merciful. Luke 6, starting in verse 35, it says, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. God is kind to ungrateful and evil men. That's most of us. Be merciful as God is merciful. It goes on in Ephesians, Paul talking to the Ephesians in chapter 4, starting in verse 29. He says, "You must let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth, but only what is beneficial for building up of the one in need, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You must put away all bitterness, anger, wrath, quarreling, and slanderous talk, indeed all malice. Instead, be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. You have no right to not forgive someone because of what God forgave you of. He forgave you of your sin. So we need to be willing to forgive just as God did, to be kind, to be compassionate, to be forgiving. In other words, to be perfect. You know, because there's days when I can be kind, but maybe not compassionate. Or there's days where I can be forgiving, but maybe not kind. But to lump them all together in one day? It's a lot to ask. But yet that's God's expectation. Because of what He's done for us, we should be willing to love others with no strings attached. No matter what they do, how they act, how they treat us. Because that's exactly what Jesus did. You know, even as He hung on that cross, He looked down to those who were crucifying Him. And what did He say? Father, forgive them. I mean, try to wrap your brain around that one. These guys just nailed you to the cross. They were the guys that were beating you and spitting on you and calling you names. And now you're hanging on the cross and they're down gambling for your clothes. And He looks down there and He says, Father, forgive them. I can't comprehend how He could do that. And yet that's what He calls us to do. Be imitators of Christ. Be imitators of God. And so this morning, as we participate in communion, we're remembering what He did. You know, that He hung on that cross for us. That he shed His blood. He gave His body for us. Even though we weren't very nice. We had been rejecting Him all of our life up to that point of when we finally got it. When the Holy Spirit finally got through to us and we went, oh, now I get it. And then as we started to live that life, then's when it really got hard. And you start finding out how you're supposed to live. And you wonder if you made the right decision. It's like, oh my gosh. I mean, look at what we looked at this morning. I'm supposed to be like Christ. I'm supposed to imitate God. I'm supposed to be perfect. I can't do that. Yep, you're right. You can't. But God's given us the Holy Spirit to help us do that. And He knows that. You know, you can come before God at any point and just say, God, I can't do this. I need help. And you know what he'll do? He'll say, you loser. You keep coming back to me over and over and over, and you're still dealing with the same old junk. Get out of here. Doesn't do that, does he? God's like, come on. Gives you a big old hug. We'll work on this together. I'll help you. We'll keep working at it. You'll get there. Keep going. So if the guys want to come on up. So as you take the bread this morning, which is the representation of Jesus' body that literally was broken for us, do so in remembrance of him. Take, eat. And this cup represents the blood that he shed. That perfect, innocent blood. He was the perfect sacrifice. He had to be to take care of sin. And so drink in remembrance of Jesus. Towards the middle, the guys will pick him up. Just want to remind you to check out your bulletin. There's several things in there, new things coming up. And if you're needing more information about some of those things, it directs you to the people. So God bless you all. Have a great week.